Blog Talk Radio.
Asala is the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. My name is Dr. Joan Cartwright, and I am a board member of ASALA South Florida, the branch that was founded 3 years ago. Tonight, my guest is a member, and she's also heavily involved with African American Studies at Broward College. I do want to tell you that the song Lift Every Voice and Sing was written by two brothers, James Weldon Johnson and J. Rosamond Johnson. Carter G. Woodson was known as the father of Black history. He was the son of a former slave, and he understood how important gaining a proper education is when striving to secure and make the most of one's divine right of freedom. So I'm going to bring my guest in. Hi, Keisha.
Hi, Joan. How are you? Can you hear me?
I am blended. Yes, I am fine.
Oh, great.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just as late.
And I was reading your bio, and I just am mesmerized by the Summer Study Abroad program.
Right.
Of course, you do know Donald Cleveland.
Yes, he's the person that was most responsible for my being involved in that. Yeah, I'm forever grateful to him and my department chair at the time for allowing me to participate with him.
So how long did you
do that? A wonderful guy.
Well, how long did you do it?
Right, with Don Cleveland, I started in 2001 traveling to Ghana. And then between 2001 and 2008, the college itself had, first they had to transform the name of the summer study from summer study to Senegal and the Gambia to summer study to Africa, because by the time he retired, we had touched we touched Egypt or Kemet. We went to Senegal, the Gambia, Ghana, Togo, Benin, and South Africa. So we hit three out of the four corners of the continent.
Mm. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so
I have
a question. Did you find that the students that went on the trip, when they came back, were they more interested in African American history?
What I do remember is that they were very grateful, because they may have known, most of our students had known something about African American history in the African diaspora. It had either been a hobby of theirs or just an interest, and they went in with a certain amount of knowledge. But when they came back, they were certainly much more grateful. They felt it enriched their lives. One of the things that I know for myself, and I think some of the other students felt that as well, is that you may be able to read about, let's say, for instance, the Atlantic slave trade and how it operated. We could look at the authorities and how they theorized things happened and how they were able to collect archival information to sort of retell the story. But reading in a book about the slave castles of Elmina and Cape Coast is very different from standing on that ground, listening to the tour guide as he takes us through each one of the rooms, the holding cells, the jail cell or the cell of death, going through the door of no return. Those things help to refine and enrich your understanding of the diaspora. So I know in that sense, many of the students came back feeling a sense of accomplishment, gratitude, and their and hunger for that information was satiated. I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay, but then did they seem to be more conscientious about the history of Africans in America? There's the disconnect. You understand?
Right.
Is what's going on over there, but and the missing link of the people that mm-hmm. are right here. Right?
Right.
So, that's what I'm trying to get uh-huh. at. And I think that this would be an interesting discussion for as a SALA members.
That is very true. I think that traveling to the continent, one, will help create that link. And I also think it would help people because it seems as if people are more interested in they're getting their ancestry 23andMe and trying through their DNA tracing back their what their DNA sort of connection is to the African continent. But I think if you put those together, you understand who your original ancestors were, and then in traveling to the continent and coming and understanding the Atlantic slave trade and its impact will help make those connections and understand who you are as a person of African descent in the diaspora, including the United States. I agree with you. Definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, I've had the benefit of traveling
mm-hmm.
to South Africa, Ghana, and the Gambia. And
okay
and worms, you know, opened my being up to the realization that we have a different experience here than the people that remained there. And you can't put a good or a bad on it. You
mm-hmm.
can't do that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
that progress was stymied so to such an extent in Africa that
mm-hmm.
it's difficult for them to understand our thirst for the motherland while they thirst for Western ideology and lifestyle. Did you find that?
I would say yes. One of the things that I had to sort of reconcile intellectually and emotionally was when I arrived there, I was greeted as a sister until we made it to the market. And then it was, American has money. I want what the American has. You know, so you're right. There is this sense of we both have the same skin color. We both have the same, I would argue, the same experiences when it comes to Western thought, Western tradition, and the impact of Europe's imposition on Africa and the Atlantic world. But instead of many of them sort of commiserating and talking about the things that we shared, it was more so they saw my nationality more so than my ancestry. So that's one thing I had to continually, every time I went back, I had to sort of reconcile. Okay, Keisha, yes, you're here for the experience. You're here to allow the students to go through their own experience on the continent, but at the same time, get ready to get hustled. I mean, from 5 years old, I had a student, I had a young 5-year-old grab my hand when we were in a village. and I want to say it was in Ghana. I'm in my 50s now, so I don't quite remember. But I remember it was a young male grabbed my hand, wanted to walk with me a little bit. I'd say we got maybe a foot or two, and then he let my hand go and said, okay, now you pay me. Like, this is how it's done. So I was like, wow, okay. I gave him, you know, a little tip. I understood, but that kind of wakes you up. But it doesn't, I don't think in the end it diminishes the overall. I mean, for me as a scholar, me as an intellectual, and me as a person of African descent, it doesn't overshadow the benefits of going and what it does, what it does to the classroom when I bring it to the classroom.
Do you know Rodolfo Rashidi?
Do I know who?
Rinoco Rashidi.
No.
He does a photographic journey throughout African countries. He's on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
But he's also given several lectures. I met him in Fort Lauderdale, Atlanta, several places. But he does a beautiful job with African art and people. African people. He takes beautiful pictures of African people. Rinoco Rashidi.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, how do you see Asala fitting into your goals?
Well, I would say probably one of the things that drew me to Asala was I always called myself in class. I picked up this name from my husband, Daryl, and he called me a history geek once, and I embraced that. So being able to share a space with my brethren, right, and sistren who are interested in preserving and sharing the history of the African diaspora was one of the things that drew me to the group. The lunch and learns, the community events, the community partnerships, I thought that it was something that fed my soul in the sense that it was good to see that there were people in the community. If I didn't make every event, there were still people in the community who saw our story as important. So one of my goals personally is to continue to see Asala South Florida thrive as much as I can and draw in my students and draw in my department to see if we can continue to grow this effort. In terms of where I see Asala fitting in with my department in particular, is that we have an oral history program that we planted the seeds. A professor of ours, Rowena Musquiz, and another professor, Sheila Jones, they had this idea of putting together an oral history repository at Broward College and getting the voices of the past recorded and stored for future scholars to be able to tap into. So I've inherited that, and that's something that I'd like to see grow, especially in preserving the voices of the people of the African diaspora that live in Broward County, which is our closest audience. But in Florida in general, that would be something great to do, and seeing Asala continue to partner with us in doing that. So oral history is definitely a goal of mine.
Yeah, and that has been done, you know. Well, three people that I know have done it, and I'll share those with you when we're offline. But I wanted to ask you another question, and I can't remember what it was.
well, I do know of one group the Trailblazers. I was blessed to work with them.
Yes.
For a little while. Yeah, that was great. And even
that's
bringing our students
really
in a little bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I made you forget
and then
what you're
just
going
Cynthia,
to say.
Just Cynthia in West Park, that used to be called
uh-huh.
Rancho. She has written a couple of books doing oral histories of the people who were the first blacks to settle in Broward County. You know,
okay.
I'll put you in touch with her too. Mm-hmm. And then,
that
of course,
great.
Kitty Oliver, who is a member,
yes.
She did oral histories on racism in Hollywood in Broward County. You know?
Yes. Yes.
So those are people that you should know. And Kitty is a member of ASALA. We're just pretty spread out, and we knew that was going to happen when we
right.
founded the chapter here. You know, but South Florida is not really that big. It's not even a 100-mile radius, you know,
mm-hmm.
right here, South Florida, about 75 miles
right.
from Miami
right.
up to West Palm Beach, you know. So anyway,
right.
do you know the National Council of Black American Affairs, NCBAA?
Yes, I do. I was part of, again, thanks to Don Cleveland, I was introduced to the organization when I was first hired at Broward College, and I was our chapter president for 2006. Yes, it's a wonderful organization.
Hmm.
Yeah, we've lost touch a
bit. Okay, well, Roxana.
I'm sorry?
Roxana Anderson, Dr. Roxana Anderson, would be my guest
uh-huh.
next Tuesday. And
right.
I would like for you to meet her because she is the president of the chapter on Palm Beach State College where we both teach.
Okay. I'm glad to see it's still alive.
So,
and, yeah. I'd be happy to meet with
her. What I'm trying to do is get her to partner with ASALA. You understand?
Uh-huh.
So if we could do
uh-huh.
a campus event with Broward College and Palm Beach State be really
mm-hmm.
nice, you know, we'd make it happen. Maybe you would have to start, you know, online. But then, and this is a way, this radio show is a way to do it also.
Exactly. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I think this. I think you're. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was saying.
Go ahead.
This radio show is definitely planting a seed and continuing to allow ASALA to breathe life into the organization. So, I know that I was hoping to have something on campus, but I guess we have to wait for the curb. To flatten or wait for this coronavirus to pass away before we can really, or at least the acuteness of it to pass away before we can really get things going again. But I would love to have something on campus. I was sort of envisioning a Zoom type meeting maybe over the summer where we could all get together and talk about some ideas. But you're right, having something on campus will introduce, like before, my students, when you guys came in 26, although there were only a handful of students, they were so excited and happy to meet you and to meet Dorothy Jenkins at the time, Dorothy Jenkins Fields, and they just couldn't believe that a group like ASALA existed. So I think bringing the group back to campus is definitely something that needs to be done.
So when I have Roxana on this program next week, if you're
mm-hmm.
free, call in and we can discuss it more.
Sure.
Otherwise, we can discuss it offline. But I think that we have the benefit of technology. We did are you familiar with Kepra?
Kepra. An organization.
No. Yeah, it's
no?
a study group. Yeah, a study group.
Okay. Okay, help me. help my memory.
They used to meet at Old Dillard's.
Okay.
I think Donald used to belong to
Is that the one with Anthony Harrison?
Yes, but Anthony passed on.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Yes.
I was familiar with his book. Yeah.
Yeah, Rick A, he runs it, and I don't know where they meet, but we met last Saturday on Zoom, and it was the first time
right.
I was able to meet with them. You know, I always meet with Charlene at Sankofa, Beatty in Delray.
Right.
So, you know, the momentum is there for us to use technology. And I think now this is the third podcast. Next week will be the fourth one. And I post them on the website and on Facebook. So our website is asolasouthflorida.wordpress.com. And there's a page for podcasts. And I'd like to, you know, if you have somebody that you think would be an interesting person to interview, you know, I also want to interest the members in doing the podcast. If you don't know how to do a radio show, then I want to put together a group of you, Charlene and you, and maybe somebody else if you want to. To learn how to do it.
Okay.
It's not that difficult. I've been doing it since 2008, and they're easy to do. You know, you just have to remember to do it. So I set my phone along. But anyway, Keisha, what would you like to say to our listeners going out as far as who you are, what you do? And go ahead, you got 2.5 minutes.
Oh. Oh, I don't know. I think of myself as just someone who is trying to make a contribution to assure that our voices are preserved and that our stories are told. And I do it in the classroom. I do it when I'm always humbled when I'm asked to speak because I'm not the greatest speaker, public speaker. There's a little performance anxiety that comes along with that. But someone who's continuing and doing something that my father wasn't able to continue to do. I'm my father's daughter, and although he was born in a different country, he was very much a Pan-Africanist, and he was really interested in the story of the voices of people of African descent, and that kind of interest I inherited. So being my father's daughter, being a scholar, and most importantly, just being able to continue to preserve and share our stories. That's who I am, I think.
That's beautiful. Beautiful.
Oh.
So people can find you at Broward College. Are you still teaching or are you just administering?
I still teach part time. I
teach
two classes a semester, and but my day job now is running the department. Yeah,
and
but
that
I'm
is the Department of African American Studies.
Well, actually, we're more broad.
It's
social. Yeah, social and behavioral sciences and human services, and within that, the discipline of history is. Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're going to talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting
me.
All right.
All right.
You have a great one.
Talk soon.
Stay safe.
You too.